Well, today we continue our series on hope. And one of the things that we've talked about is how no matter who you are, no matter what age you find yourself at in life, what season, there comes a point where we're all in need of hope. We all want hope. And here's one of the things that we've said along with that truth is we have a tendency to try and reach outside of ourselves. We have a tendency to think, wow, if I could just get to know that person better, I would have a little more chance at hope for my life. If I could just get that promotion, if I could just get that car, if I could just get things settled down in my life, if I could just get something outside of me and bring in and make it a part of my life, then I would have a greater chance at hope. Well, one of the things that we've said all along is hope is not something that comes from the outside. Hope is something that we find on the inside, and hope only comes through a relationship with Christ. You see, sometimes in life, we have distractions. Sometimes in life, those distractions begin to create worries. And then those worries lead us to trouble. Why? Because we're distracted from the hope that we could have. We begin to worry about where we're at in the circumstances of life, and then we begin to make choices that lead us away from hope rather than to hope. Here's what the Apostle Paul had to say about you and I finding hope. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27, here's what he goes ahead and he just shares with us a real simple truth. He says this: to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to zone in on something this morning that we need to just kind of take hold of and make real in our life. And one of the things is this: that God wanted hope to be known to you. I want you to leave today knowing that God's not trying to hide hope. God's not trying to keep hope from you. God's not trying to direct you away from hope. In fact, God wants you to find hope. And here's what Paul says. Paul says, look, God wanted hope to be known to you. He wanted you to be able to take hold of hope. So here's what he's done. He's given it to us through Jesus Christ. You see, on week number one, we said hope has a name. And that name isn't John. It's not Bill. It's not another person. It's not another place. It's not something that you can go ahead and pick up and place it in your body, nothing to that effect. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. And today, amidst the distractions of your life and my life, amidst the worries of my life and your life, sometimes we find ourselves in a troubled spot because of what seems hopeless in our life. But the Apostle Paul says, look, there's one thing that God wants you to have, and that's hope. So here's what he's done. He's revealed it and he's made it to where we can take hold of it. And what we can take hold of is Jesus Christ. I read a story the other day about a father who had a very busy life. He was an executive. He was working his way up through the company, and some great things were happening in his life. But one day he came home and he just felt like something was different. One of his little boys looked up at him and they said, Dad, you're not around that much anymore. It seems like you're always gone. And I wish that you could be here a little bit more to be at my games and to go ahead and just kind of be a part of the family. The dad looked at his son and he said, son, I can go ahead and I can give you quality time, which is where we do the things that you love and I love. We can go ahead and make that counter, or we can do quantity time. The little boy looked at him and he said, Dad, I really don't know what quantity time is, but I'd prefer quality time and a lot of it. You know what happened in that father's life? That father, just like you and me, he was distracted from what really mattered in his life and what was really the most important. And here's the connection from that story to your life and to my life is this. Many times in this life, we get busy and we get distracted with things that are temporary at best. We get distracted by hurts and circumstances. We get worried about issues that seem like they're bigger than we are. And then we begin to go and we begin to search for this thing that we're calling hope. And we go looking for it and we try and lay hold of it. But Paul has already told us in God's word that Jesus is our hope. And it comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a relationship that rises up in us and strengthens us. Now today, I know in a room this size with people gathered here, there are some that are distracted by some problems in life. There are some that are distracted by the busyness of life. There are some that are distracted by the great moments of life where things are going good and you couldn't ask for it to be better. So you say, wow, I don't need much hope. That's just the way we're wired. When we're hurting, we search for hope. Sometimes we just search for it in the wrong place. When life is good and we're busy and things just seem to be going great, we tend to go ahead and say, wow, I don't need much hope. I can just go ahead and put hope behind me. And if I need to reach back and grab it, I will. Well, today we're going to look at a story that involves Jesus and a couple of other people. It's found in Luke chapter 10. And here's what we're going to learn. That whether we're in a situation where life seems to be good and we're just distracted with the busyness, or whether we're in a situation where life seems to be tough and we're searching for hope, the bottom line is we all need hope and we all find it in one place. And Jesus tells us in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10, that hope begins with Him. And if you're going to have hope for your life and I'm going to have hope for my life, then we have to come to a place where first things are first. Let me ask you this question this morning. More than anything else, what matters to you most right now? I mean, what stands out in your life and what's more important to you right now than anything else? I want you to think about that question for just a moment. And let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 10. Verse number 38, the Bible says this. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Jesus is out with his disciples. He's traveling, and they come to Mary and Martha's house, the home of Lazarus, his sisters, a family that Jesus has known, and this family has known Jesus, and they get welcomed into her house. It says this, "And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Now, let's just think about this for just a moment. Jesus is traveling. They come to a certain village. A certain woman named Martha welcomes him into her home. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus with other people. It says she also sat there, so that means she's not sitting there alone. And she heard his word. Now we go to the next verse. Verse number 40, it says this, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?'" I mean, she comes to Jesus and says, "Look, don't you care that I'm carrying all this weight myself? Don't you care that my sister's there doing absolutely nothing? I want you to notice me, Jesus. I want you to notice what's going on." And here's what Jesus hears. She says, "Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus, I want you to make her do what I want her to do. Forget what you want her to do. Forget what you think is the answer to my situation. I want you to tell her to help me. We read verse number 41. It says, "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha.'" Now I'm going to stop right there. Martha, Martha. There's three times in Scripture where Jesus goes ahead and says the first name twice. In this passage of scripture, he says, Martha, Martha. And then he's going to go on and he's going to say, I hate to disappoint you, but you're just not getting it right now. There's another time where he says, Simon, Simon. He's talking to Peter, one of his followers. He says, Simon, Simon, look, I know you think you've got things figured out, and I know that you think you're going to be faithful to the end, and I'm not going to do this cross thing, okay? I know you think you haven't figured it out, but you know what? You really don't have it figured out. You really just don't know what's going on. So he says, Martha, Martha. Then he says, Simon, Simon. In both instances, he says, you're missing the big picture. You just don't get who I am, and you're not getting what I'm up to. And then there's a passage in Acts chapter 9 where he says, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to go ahead and have any comfort right now, isn't it? Because now I've got your attention. And he says, why are you persecuting me? He tells Martha, you don't get the bigger picture. You don't know what I'm up to. You don't see what I'm doing. He says, Peter, look, you're missing something that's there. You just don't get it. He says, Saul, you're missing out on something that is bigger. It's kind of amazing. All three times, Jesus says, look, in a nice, calm way, there's something more than what you feel at stake. There's something bigger than you that's unfolding. And he comes to her and he says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're troubled about many things. Do you know what he says? He says, you're anxious and you're carrying many cares. How many people are like that today? They're anxious and they're just carrying many troubles in their life. They're weighed down, and here's what they want, and here's what they need. They're searching for hope. They would like to find hope, but hope seems to elude them. It seems to escape them because we're missing where we find hope. We're missing what hope is really all about. We have our eyes on something else and someone else other than Jesus, and we miss it. Well, let's wrap this up. Here's what Jesus says. You're troubled about many things. He says, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now let's just dive into this real quick. Here's what we see taking place in Martha's life. We talked about hope. The Bible says that hope can be found by you and it can be found by me. And the Bible says that hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. And Paul describes it this way. He says it's the hope in you, which is Christ in you. And then he says it's the hope of glory. He says it gives you hope for today. It gives you hope for the moment, but it gives you hope for heaven. It's a hope that keeps getting better and better. And sometimes in our life, we look at our life and we say, how come I don't feel like my hope is getting better and better? And here's the first reason. It's the same reason that Martha was struggling in this passage of scripture, and it's this: we become distracted from the one true hope. You see, there's one true hope for your life, and there's one true hope for my life, and that one true hope is Jesus Christ. What was the thing that Martha was distracted from in this passage of scripture? We go ahead and look at some things that unfold here. You see, Martha was distracted by preparing. You see, she's preparing dinner for Jesus. She welcomes him into the house. Okay, get this. She welcomed him into her home. And then from there, she was distracted by the demands that she felt came with welcoming. It's kind of like many Christians. We go ahead and we invite Jesus into our life. We say, yes, my life's a mess, or yes, I know that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus as my Savior and I need his forgiveness. And we go ahead and we invite him in and we accept him as our Savior, and we put our faith in him and we put our hope in him. And then a little bit after that moment, we get distracted by the demands of this life. We get distracted by the wants of our life. We get distracted by all the things that are going on around us. is sometimes as young people, teens, we get distracted by what our peers are doing, and we get distracted by what our peers want us to do, and that will lead us away from the one true hope. Sometimes as adults, we go through that exact same thing. We get distracted by the busyness of life, and we don't put first things first, and we begin to go ahead and walk away from our one true hope. Even though we've welcomed that hope into our life, we've become distracted away from the one thing that truly matters. You see, the main thing was no longer the main thing in Martha's life. What the main thing should have been was Jesus. But for her, the main thing was doing something that was okay to do. But in all of her doing, she was distracted. Let's just be honest this morning. We can go ahead and just own up to this. How many of you have ever been distracted by a good thing in your life? I mean, work can be a good thing, right? But too much of it is not necessarily a good thing. Friends can go ahead and be a good thing, but sometimes too much of that goes ahead and creates a distraction. Going ahead and enjoying life can be a good thing. But sometimes all the busyness of life and all the things that come with it are just distractions. It's amazing that Martha is distracted by doing something for Jesus. She was distracted by preparing. She was getting ready for what was next. Do you realize that sometimes even as a church staff, it's really easy for us to get distracted? Because by the time we finish one thing, there's always something that is next. And by the time you plan this service, there's another service. And by the time you plan this event, there's the next event. And sometimes it's really easy to get distracted by all of the doing that we don't take time to focus on the one true hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. You see, the same things that happen in your life are very capable of happening in my life. They happened in Martha's life. They happened in Peter's life. They happened in Paul's life. No one is above being distracted by hope. And some of us are distracted because of what we're preparing for next. And in what we're preparing for next in this thing we call life, we miss the hope of Jesus Christ. Martha was distracted. Let me ask you something today. What has your attention? What has our attention will get our affection, and what has our affection will get our abilities. And even though Martha was preparing to do something for Jesus, right now she's distracted because what she's preparing to do in a way that she's ticked off by. Read it. It's right there. She says, "Jesus, I'm doing so much. I'm distracted by what I'm doing for you, and I'm distracted by what other people aren't doing for you." You see, she was distracted by the comparison trap. She was comparing herself to others. And she thought she was doing pretty good. I mean, don't think for a minute that when Martha went to Jesus and said, "Martha, all my sister is doing is sitting there on her rear. I want you to tell her to get up and join me and doing something." She thought that this was going to be the moment where Jesus was going to go ahead and say, "Mary, what are you doing? You're slacking. You need to get up and be just like Martha." But here's what he comes back with. "Martha, Martha, Martha. You're missing it. There's one thing that is needful." Do you know what I've discovered in life? No matter who you are, no matter what it is, comparing yourself to someone else or something else is never the answer. Generally doesn't go ahead and work out well. Why? Because you and I are not made to compare to one another. We're not made to compare to someone else or something else. We're made to go ahead and say, "Okay, where am I at with Jesus? We look and we want somebody else's financial portfolio. We want what somebody else's marriage appears to look like. We want what somebody else's family seems to function like, and we begin to compare ourselves to them. We begin to stack things up, or maybe we think we've got it pretty good, so we find somebody else that doesn't appear to stack up as well, and we begin to go ahead and compare ourselves to them, what we're doing, what they're not doing, or what they're doing and what we're not doing, and all of a sudden, we lose sight of the hope that is in Jesus Christ. You see, Martha was in the presence of hope. But in the presence of hope, in the preparation that she's doing, she is distracted from the hope. Why? Because her eyes are on everything else outside of her. Her eyes are on everyone else around her except the one that can give the hope. When we go through life, it's not unusual when we have a problem, when we have a struggle, to be distracted by that problem and struggle. It's not unusual for us to begin to compare ourselves to where we stack up okay. I'm doing everything that I need to do at work above and beyond, and I'm outperforming anyone, and I just don't know why that it's such a struggle for me. I'm taking care of everything at home, and I'm taking care of everything in the marriage, and everything is just on me, and nobody else is making a contribution. Do you know where we've just gone? We become distracted from hope. We've become distracted from the one that is our true hope that can go ahead and be the remedy for any situation, whatever it might be. See, she's distracted. Just distracted from hope. She welcomed hope into her life, into her home, and then she became distracted by the demands of life. We have families falling apart at a higher rate than ever. We've got evil running rampant in society in greater ways than it ever has. And one of the prominent reasons that's happening is this. As Christians, we've become distracted from our one true hope. We're busy and we're distracted. We're taking on other things and we're distracted. I heard a quote some time ago that said this. If we can't go ahead and make them bad, we'll make them busy. You stop and think about that. We'll go ahead and get them distracted. How many times does distraction happen in our life and take our eyes off of the one true hope? Let's dig just a little bit further, because the Bible says that Martha was distracted. Okay, that's where she's at. The Bible also says that she was described by the one true hope. Get this. She was described by the one true hope. Who is that? Jesus. Let me ask you this today. Just think about this. How would you want Jesus to describe you? I mean, how would you want your family to describe you? How would you want your spouse to describe you, your kids to describe you? How would you want that to take place? Yesterday, I spent all day at the softball diamonds with my little girl. Our family was there. Maddie played 5 games yesterday, and they came back, and they beat the team that had beat them twice, and they won the tournament. They won the league. I just thought I would plug that for you today. I'll make sure and put this message on Facebook so that other people that were on the opposing team can hear that. I went and got her a bottle of water, and one of the moms on the team said, make sure and say thank you. I said, oh, Maddie, you don't have to say thank you. You can just say, you're awesome, Daddy. That's what she did. She said, thank you. It was a long walk home for her, but that's all right. She got there. I was just joking around with her and helping her laugh and that sort of thing because they needed to. But you know what? Sometimes in life, we really have an idea how we would want to be described. Let me ask you this. How many of you would like to be described by Jesus, the one true hope, as distracted from hope, carrying worries that keep you from hope, and troubled because you can't see hope? That's the description that Jesus gives of Martha. He says, Martha, hope is right in front of you, and you do not see it. Hope is right there, spelled out big and bold by the presence of Jesus, and you are ignoring it. How would Jesus describe your life right now? Would he describe you as distracted? Would he describe you as worried and carrying around all kinds of cares and anxieties and pressures that are keeping you from hope and seeing that hope? Would he say, you're missing it? Would he just have to sit down and say, John, you're just not getting it? What would that be, the description? When we look at what Jesus says, he says, look, I know that you're worried and you're troubled, Martha. She's filled with cares and anxieties. But Jesus answers her question. And Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried, you're troubled about many things, but there's one thing needed. And Mary has chosen that good part. What was the one thing? The one thing was time with Jesus. You see, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she's absolutely content. She's not distracted. She's not worried. She's not troubled. Why? Because Martha was distracted, worried, and troubled, and hope was draining from her life. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus along with others as well. And here's what the Bible describes her as. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. What does that tell you? What does it tell me? Jesus says, one thing is needful, and I am not going to take that from her. He says, one thing. That one thing was being with him and hearing his word. Sometimes we're so distracted from the things of Jesus that we don't have time with Jesus. We don't have time for Jesus. We don't have time for his word. And the Bible says that the hope that you can have in this life and the hope that I can have in this life comes through that relationship with Jesus Christ. And as that relationship grows, our hope grows and our hope strengthens. But when we get distracted from Jesus, when we get distracted from his word, when we start saying, man, this is what I want for my life and this is what I'm going to do, we begin to go ahead and move away from hope. We begin to go ahead and give in to other things that take us from hope. You see, you don't have to be very smart to go ahead and figure out there's some bad things in this life that take us from hope. But there's some good things in this life that distract us from the hope of Jesus as well. And Martha's doing a good thing, but it's a distracting thing. And it was pushing hope out. Because all of a sudden, it was no longer about the hope of Jesus. It was about who she was, what she was doing, what she wanted, and how she was going to go ahead and prepare for the next thing rather than God's thing. So we've got Martha distracted by hope. We've got Martha described by hope. She's described as distracted, worried, and troubled. And Mary is described as sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. And that she's doing the one thing that needs to be done. And that was to focus on Jesus. Well, as we wrap this up, here was Martha's struggle. And it's your struggle and my struggle in many situations. And it's the failure to focus on the one true hope. She welcomed hope, but hope was no longer her focus. Let me ask you something. Is Jesus your focus today? I mean, is he really your focus? Or are you just busy and distracted with life? Because busy and distracted is going to bring troubles. It's going to bring worries. It's going to bring you comparing yourself to everyone else. And according to this passage of Scripture, Martha just continues. She never steps back. She never stops to go ahead and correct her direction. Can I encourage you to go ahead and do a little examining in your life today and ask yourself openly and honestly, would Jesus describe me as being focused on hope? She welcomed hope, but she failed to focus on hope. She prepared for hope, but she prepared for that hope out of frustration. It came to a point of, I'm the only one doing anything. And it doesn't matter what it is, when you go ahead and say, I'm the only one doing anything, you become the focus. What you were doing it for and who you were doing it for is no longer the focus. Whether Jesus is included in that framework or not, when you begin to say, I'm the only one, we begin to compare ourselves to others and we are walking down a road that's not healthy. Some of the prophets in the Old Testament tried to tell God, I'm the only one doing anything. And you know what God said? No, you're not. Get over yourself. I've got plenty of you people out there doing things. Don't kid yourself. God says, I'm not going to go ahead and let it all rest on you. When we look at our need for hope, God says, I'm not going to keep hope from you. I'm going to put hope out in front of you where you can have it and take hold of it and make the most of it. And that hope is Jesus Christ. And it's the hope that comes from a relationship with him, and it's a hope that grows as a result of him working in your life. And the way he works in our life is when we become focused on him, when we sit with him, when we go ahead and hear his word. You see, Martha failed to focus on the one true hope. She welcomed hope, but that was it. She went ahead and prepared for hope, but there was frustration in her heart, resentment. Get this, she talked to hope. She went over and had a conversation with hope, but the only thing she talked with her one true hope about was what everyone else wasn't doing. Think about that for just a minute. She goes over and she has a face-to-face conversation with Jesus, and there was no, Jesus, help me to be a better servant. There was no, Jesus, help me to get this right. There was no, Jesus, I need your strength. I need hope right now because I'm feeling a little frustrated. No, she went to Jesus and she said, Jesus, look, I've got this whole thing planned out. I'm in control of this situation right now. It's just not working out according to my plans. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to get everybody else on my page because this is how I want it to go. She never said, Jesus, help me get on your page. She never said, Jesus, help me to go ahead and be able to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to you. She just said, Jesus, would you make Mary do what I think she needs to do? You know, life might be a game changer for us sometimes if we would come to Jesus and say, Lord, instead of me talking to you about everybody else right now and all the things they need to get straight, I'm going to go ahead and get something straight in my life so that I can go ahead and hold on to hope, so that I can be a picture of hope, so that the people around me might go ahead and see the one true hope that comes from you. Mary failed, or Martha failed to focus on hope. Mary sat and had a conversation with hope. Martha went over. She talked to hope, but not about what really needed to be discussed. There's something else about Martha and her failure to focus on the one true hope is this. She failed to sit down and spend some time with hope. You see, Jesus said there's one thing that's needful. Just one thing. Jesus tells us that in the midst of our distractions, in the midst of our cares, in the midst of our troubles, there's one thing that we really need to do, and that's to spend time with Him. It's to go ahead and zero in on Him. The question is this today for your life and for my life. We can have hope. We can welcome hope into our life through acknowledging that we need a Savior, that we're sinners and we need to trust Jesus. We can place our faith in that one true hope that died on the cross for us, was buried and rose again. We can take that and welcome that into our life, and we desperately need to do that. But the question is this, what will we do with hope beyond that moment? Will we sit with that hope? Will we focus on that hope? Or will we become distracted and troubled and worried by all the other things and demands in this life to where we miss out on the one thing that's needful, and that's sitting with Jesus? You need hope in your life today. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And Jesus says, if you really want to overcome the distractions of this life, if you want to move beyond the worries, the cares, the troubles, the anxieties, the uncertainties, the insecurities, the battles, the struggles, He says, why don't you come and sit at my feet and spend some time with me. Get to know me. Make me your focus. And you'll discover a hope that'll help some of those anxieties and troubles and struggles disappear. And it'll help carry you over the ones that remain. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing a verse of invitation hymn. And today, I just want to ask you, do you have that one true hope in your life? That one true hope of Jesus. If you don't know for certain that Jesus is your hope, just a moment when we stand and sing, I would like to invite you. Just leave your place and come, and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Christ is your hope of heaven, that He is your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you've got some things in life that are distracting you, taking you away from time with Jesus, taking you away from focusing on Jesus, the one thing that is needful. Maybe today you want to come and pray and say, Lord, help me with that. Maybe you've got some other things in your life today that you want to just talk with Him about, ask Him for His direction on. Whatever your need might be, in just a moment when we stand together and sing, just let God have His way. If He speaks to your heart, just step out and come. If you need someone to pray with you, we'll have someone pray with you. If you just want to come and pray alone, you can come and pray alone. You can pray right where you're at. Just respond to God. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed?